All right, buddy. It's going to be all DeAndre Jordan all the time here. Hit us with the beats.
It's going to be all DeAndre Jordan all the time. We're going to talk about the speculation that DeAndre Jordan is definitely a buyout candidate for the Brooklyn Nets. How did they get to this place? What other options did they explore? What could be landing spots for him? And just to temper the expectations about what it means to buy out a player and whether or not there's financial freedom there or maybe just spots on the roster. We cover it all. It's a heck of a conversation. Get back in the room with you, buddy.
Ah, buddy, the feeling is mutual. We're going to get into the whole kit and caboodle here. But first, theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day, especially during the offseason. I am Doug Norrie, owner and operator of DFSR.com. If you need a projection for this upcoming NFL season, head on over to DFSR.com. Got you covered for NBA as well. And that is Adam Armbrecht, also getting ready for NFL. He's the host of the One Giant podcast, where he and Andy Mack are breaking down the New York Football Giants. Also, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster. We're through all the superlatives, buddy. How are we doing? It feels like we haven't podcasted together in forever.
I missed you, buddy. Even though we've been putting out episodes and the fan base has been hearing it with us, we've been doing some single lifts, as we like to say. You were on with Josh Lloyd talking fantasy the other day. So this feels like a reunion. It's the off season, but I feel renewed. Did you feel good when before we get into the big topic of the day for the Nets, did you feel a little bit of a relief when I did a handful of those solo episodes and you kind of got a week off? Because last week was basically a week off for me almost, and I feel refreshed now.
Yeah, you know, look, I love doing the podcast. I think you do too. Or I know you do too. So we love doing it. Every once in a while, it's nice to have a little step away from it. This is typically this is the time of the NFL. Look at the NFL in my brain. This time of the NBA season where they kind of seed a lot of stuff to the NFL. And just kind of people go on vacation, and that's just kind of how things work, right? Like that's why actually the content around the NBA tends to not dry up, but diminish a little bit during these couple of weeks. So yeah, I thought it was nice to take a week off and, you know, to get your brain reset. But that's okay because here, you don't need a brain reset for some Nets news that came, I guess it's going to qualify as news. It's definitely worth talking about that came out this week. And as soon as we both read it, we were like, well, we know what we're talking about in this podcast because, So I'll just break it down, along pretty quick lines here around what happened if you hadn't heard. So Shams Charania from The Athletic released his kind of like weekly, bi-weekly sort of breakdown around the NBA. He's about as connected as it gets, obviously. Him and Woj are at the top of the mountaintop when it comes to NBA news and breaking stuff. Shams, at the end of his, Inside Pass with Shams. That's on The Athletic, like I said. It's behind a paywall, but Athletic's a good read. So if you ever want to go out there, I would definitely suggest getting a sub over there. Anyway, he, near the end, as he's rolling through a couple team notes, says, I'm just going to read most of this verbatim. Center DeAndre Jordan and the Nets are working toward parting ways via a contract buyout, sources tell me, and our Nets reporter Alex Schiffer, who's also great on The Athletic, that's Doug Norrie's quote in there. That was a parenthesis in there. he doesn't say it. Doug Norrie thinks Alex great. Jordan is increasingly unlikely to be part of the organization moving forward, but the sides have not made a final decision. Jordan did not appear in the Nets' last 16 games of the 2021 season and the playoffs. All right, so I did a lot of talking there, summing it up. What were your thoughts when you heard this? I'm going to call it like three quarters of a report about where these sides might stand.
Yeah, at first surprise from the standpoint of he was on the roster last year and he played a lot in the regular season, and we know that he faded down the stretch, but you and I had talked kind of in this offseason around going forward into the upcoming year, what was it going to look like, that you still need bodies during the regular season to get through the games, and DeAndre Jordan at the very least represented that. But I think, while it's hard for the organization to fully gauge what could have been because of the injuries they had happen at the end of the year and into the playoffs, the reality was you came to the conclusion that DeAndre Jordan is not going to be playoff basketball valuable to us. And once that reality came true, and I think all sides understood that, and by all sides I mean even Kevin Durant and you know some of the friends of DeAndre Jordan, the tea leaves being there that kind of say, hey, if you want to keep playing and you don't want to be a minutes eater for us, then maybe it makes sense for us to kind of start to have these discussions so that you can continue to have a playing career if that's what you want to do. And I think that maybe there's just enough pride there for DeAndre Jordan where he doesn't look at himself and say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll take a pounding during the 82-game season so that everyone can stay fresh for the championship run. Like, he wants to be out there being a part of that. And while this may be his best chance to win a championship in the league going into this league, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't like to have a more prominent role somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to slice this thing. I think that is definitely has to be part of it, is that he wasn't even part of, like you said, the regular season. He was buried for the last month of the regular season too, or something like that. Maybe it was a little less than that. That he was completely out of the rotation basically since the time LaMarcus Aldridge originally came, and that was obviously short lived. And then Blake was there, and they kind of rotated some different centerpieces. You know, Bruce Brown got some starts, but that was basically the end of DeAndre Jordan as being part of the team as they geared up for the playoffs. Like you said, recognizing that he was not going to be part of any, you know, solution that they had there. Even, you know, some people even held out hope that they might see him in the Bucks series because of some of the defensive stuff he had done, I guess, against Giannis during the regular season, but that didn't come to fruition. And when that didn't happen, you knew it was like basically all over, right? Because that was like the only scenario. I guess maybe there was one other scenario, whereas if they had played the Sixers, we would have seen him play against Embiid. We'll never know. Obviously, at this point, the Nets, it does not appear as if they, you know, are willing to entertain that even as an option anyway. So, I think from that standpoint, it makes sense on, I guess, that level, like that interpersonal level around like what's right by the player, because basically all that stuff right there is doing right by the player, right? Like you're not
100%.
I want to talk because there's a team element here. And I don't even mean like the personalities of the team, but like that stuff that you mentioned as part of like, you know, give him a chance to go play somewhere else, like, you know, give him a chance to like, you know, go off into his career. Like it's a pride thing. We don't know. That's all speculation. Like we don't know that or not about if those are where they're breaking it down along those lines. But that really doesn't speak to like some other things that are going on here, right? Like it feels like only one part of the equation.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And I mean, it's, you know, there's some track record here as far as, you know, you can look at the Spencer Dinwiddie situation. We kind of talked about that when they made that trade. Very different points of their career, obviously, but just trying to do right by the organization, then also by the player. The buyout piece of it, I'll be curious to see, because there's still the financial commitment then, right? Like, this is, you're still on the hook for money here. So when you talk about where the Nets are financially and then maybe wanting to bring in, you just mentioned LMA and his desires to come back to the league. We've heard some things around Kevin Love, and he's kind of clapped back at the idea that he'll be one of those buyout opportunities for Brooklyn. But when you think about freeing up cap space, maybe this is something we should have realized when the conversations around the trade had happened and the Nets were trying to potentially add DJ into some of those moves, right? Because then that would have been unloading the money and not just eating the bill and then moving a player.
Well, and see, that's the other thing here too. This is unlikely to really like be a move maker in terms of salary cap at all. Like it's right. There's almost no chance that it does. I'll get into the numbers around this in a second, because we'll go through sort of what is still on the books for DeAndre Jordan, what these buyouts typically look like, what it actually would provide for the Nets. Because there's got to be other. This is what I mean about there's other pieces here. Like we covered the DeAndre coming in as part of like you know friends with KD, friends with Kyrie, and obviously super great guy, locker room dude. Everyone agrees about that stuff. But really it kind of only covered the personal stuff. I want to get into some of the numbers here in a second. First, if you or someone you love is dealing with sweating, I'll tell you right now, people, I don't think the Nets front office is sweating too much right now going into the season. They got to be feeling pretty good. But other people in the league, they might want to try out Sweat Block. Look, I've dealt with this stuff before, being in front of crowds, thinking about the kind of shirt you're going to wear, maybe feeling like you need to change shirts halfway through a workday. It can all be a huge pain point. That pain point goes completely away when you start using Sweatblock. Wear what you want to wear. It's a little secret to having confidence. You can get it in front of crowds. You're not worried, like I said, about that uniform change. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bed. Go to bed the next morning, you wake up, wash, go about your day, and without worrying about sweat, totally guaranteed. This stuff came in the mail from Sweatblock a couple months ago. Like, I've been using it, it totally works. It sounds too good to be true, but using Sweatblock once or twice a week keeps you dry the whole time. No more picking shirts based on which one will hide the sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with it, you have to check out Sweatblock today. Get it for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON, or just over at Amazon or CVS. 20% off, sweatblock.com, promo code LOCKEDON, sweatblock.com.
Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live that you want to watch on a Sunday, and then another one that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and then you've got your neighbor or your best friend's login information for the good stuff, the other little bit of entertainment. I often find myself begging Doug Norrie for some passwords. He's not giving them up. Well, I can tell you one thing. You can get a simple way to bring all that entertainment you love without any of the hassle. And it's a great way to finally tie all those TV entertainments together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. So that's the personal side. DeAndre Jordan, great guy. And this is the thing. We have talked about this before. Just when it comes to players, we on this podcast, and it's an earnest thing. This isn't just lip service. Like, I like to see players be successful. I like to see them do well. And it is unfortunate that it didn't work out where DJ gets to be with his buddies to win a championship, or at least that seems to be the case. But financially, what is it? You said you had the numbers in front of you. Like, what does the buyout look like? What are the Nets going to be on the hook for? Because these are very quantifiable things, because it happens every single year, every single offseason, someone gets their contract bought out, and we know what that original organization is going to have to deal with going forward.
Yeah, okay. So when you buy a player out, you have to come to an agreement about what number you're going to buy them out at to let them out of the contract. But then their money, whatever money you agree to continue paying them, which is usually a lot, sits on your dead cap space, right? So DeAndre Jordan right now is owed, it's just south of $20 million for the next 2 years. So yeah, it's 9.8, well, it's basically $9.9 million for this season, and then it takes a little bit of a dip to $9.8 million in the 22-23 season. You'd have to, like, if other examples of this are to be used, you're looking like 75 to 90% of the contract or something like that to be able to buy them out. There's just no way that DeAndre Jordan is going to, like, they never walk. So sometimes a buyout can sound funny if you don't read about it or you know, understand, because it sounds like, hey, we're free of them. We freed up all the cap space. No, that's not how it works. You don't free up the cap space. Like, you still, because these players would be, one, completely insane to be like, my pride's so much that I'll just walk away for zero. Like, there's not doing that, right? Like, no one, the union, frankly, just wouldn't even let them. It'd be such a bad union practice. So it has to be pretty close to whatever the number was. Like, so for instance, Detroit has, if you want a dead cap comparison, right, to where, like, Blake Griffin's $30 million are sitting on Detroit's balance sheet for this season, right? Still, he plays for the Nets, obviously, at the league minimum, but that number is sitting on the dead cap figure, and this is all throughout the league. You can look at any team around the league. They almost all have dead cap numbers on it, because at some point they wanted to waive somebody, or at some point they just needed to get out of a contract. Sometimes you can spread it out over multiple seasons. Like, there's some dudes that are like Andrew Nicholson's just still getting paid like multiple years. He's going to get paid for like the next 3 years for the Blazers. There's a million examples of these things. The point being is that just because you hear the word buyout does not mean that it all of a sudden opens up cap space for the Nets. It won't. There's no way. What all they'd probably be doing here, and this is like the interesting thing about this move, is this is them saying, we just value the roster spot more than DeAndre Jordan. Like the roster spot is more important than DeAndre Jordan at this point, which is crazy. We're even talking about this. I mean, it's not like you and I were team DJ all this time on the court. You know, we were fighting for Jared Allen for forever to be starting, whatever. But to reach a point where these teams are saying, at this point, I would just rather have another person on the roster. If I can get anything back off the buyout, that'd be great. But if I can just take the roster spot back, that is worth it for like a developmental purpose or just a better fit, right? Because that's like the other sort of funny thing. I don't think they'd be able to. I haven't looked at every single number here, but my guess is it would like right now they can only sign someone for the minimum. My guess is they would just have two contract spots open for the minimum. It wouldn't open up mid-level exception money to go for Paul Millsap or something. You know, like it wouldn't like this.
No,
wouldn't,
and, there,
like,
and there's yeah. No, and there's some mechanism too. Like when Blake Griffin re-signed with the Nets this offseason, that impacted the money that Detroit owed him by some small amount. Now, this is something, again, the details will be out if this goes through with DeAndre Jordan, but I don't know if that's an active thing that happens depending on when the buyout occurs. If it happens during the season, then maybe it can't, you know, it's not going to end up being able to come off financially for Detroit until the following year. But if this happens before the league year starts, or before, see, that's different too. League year versus the season, two different things. So if the Nets were to buy out DJ, and I want to get into the rumor around where a landing spot could be for him, maybe you save a little tiny bit of extra money. But to your point, it's not going to be anything substantial. And it's just like you're going to pay for your own roster spot by buying out DeAndre Jordan, to your point, so that you can, you know, maybe it's going to be LMA. Maybe it's just going to be that you have one of these young guys that you'd like to have up on the roster more often than not, and you won't have to do as much shuffling between the G League and the starting lineup that you're going to put out there at the NBA level. But it's still interesting to me, because once you make the commitment financially and there's no trade opportunities to obviously move that money or bring in a player in return and have the numbers line up, the buyouts to some extent they become odd to me, because like the money's spent now, like short of it being a roster spot, it's like the Blake Griffin thing. Like I get why Detroit wants to move on. They needed to rebuild. They need to move in a young direction. Also. Like, all you're doing is paying Blake Griffin to go be successful for the Nets. So it's just weird. And that's potentially the boat that the Nets are going to fall into with DeAndre Jordan, even though it'll be, you would think, to a far lesser extent. He's going to go play somewhere else. He's going to go be a component somewhere else. And you're going to be watching him play as you pay him to compete against you effectively.
Well, so the interesting thing, too, is that the weird devil's bargain you make with a buyout, and why you usually see it from bottom feeding teams, is because in that case, you're just saying, hey, look, you're just not going to play. Like, you're going to the players, right. You're going to these older players that you signed at some contract that at some point became bad or untenable or non-movable, and you said, hey, you're just going to sit on the bench. Like, what do you want to do here, right? Like, do you want to, because in the end, the team has no, the player doesn't want to leave. Like, you know, this Kevin Love said, that story's kind of changed a little bit in recent days, but if you can believe what they said about the Kevin Love thing at first, we said he's not interested in being bought out. The player just doesn't need to be bought out. They can just say, hey, look, you owe me the money. I'm going to stay here. If you want to sit me, that's fine, I guess, right? Different players are going to react differently to this kind of thing. But you usually see it for these younger teams because they are valuing they're just saying, hey, you're not part of the future. And at this point, we would just rather play someone that might be because we can get to see what they're like. The DeAndre thing is a little different because you don't see buyouts around championship level teams as much, because usually they're a little more carefully crafted around, you know, who's gotten all this money and things like that, or you can just find a spot for the guy, or you can figure out a trade. And they did try to trade.
Would this be an example of, we know why he was signed to the Nets, and we always associate it as being a mechanism of getting Kevin Durant and you know, Kyrie and everything else, right? But is this an example maybe where the Nets, where Sean Marks, even at the time, where you say, okay, is this make or break if we don't bring DJ? Because there's that element of it now, because if you clearly, as we've always said, this gets run by the superstars. Like Kevin Durant signs off on this, and DeAndre Jordan signs off on this idea, so it happens amicably, and it's not some type of big issue for the organization. But now it feels like you were brought in. You're the same player now that you were when we signed you, and the intention was for you to be a part of this championship team, and nothing is different now. Like nothing, it's all still the same. We have all the superstars. You're supposed to be their buddy who has always been limited in what he can do defensively and has always been a rim running. Okay, like that's what your role is. He hasn't changed at all. You didn't see him fall off a cliff last season where it was like, oh my God, why would we keep this guy around? So is that a misstep by the organization, I guess, or was the proof in the pudding for Kevin Durant and for the other stars where they realized on their own that, hey, we do love DJ, and also he's going to be a liability to us winning a championship, and then that's where the rubber meets the road, and they say, yeah, of course we love you, buddy. We'll see you in the summer, and, you know, why don't you go ahead and pack your bags? Because it's odd. That's the odd element to this that I'm just actively right now thinking about of, then why did you bring him in at all? Because it's not like he needed the money. Kevin Durant didn't need to get DJ one last payday, you know?
Well, maybe they did. I don't know. Things can change, right? You can start to see, hey, you know, you're not on a team for a year and 2 years now, and it's like you haven't really needed what he brought all that much, and the writing can just be on the wall. And after you're just ingrained with an association or a team, you can just your minds can change about things. I don't think that doesn't seem like there's any ill will here.
That's what I mean. It seems to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, not for nothing, both Kyrie and KD kind of took little pay cuts on the way in to get him in there. So it's not like they didn't do anything for the guy. An enormous solid done for him early on by making him the third of that group when I don't think anyone else was really valuing his skill set along those same lines. So we got a couple more things to talk about with this because I don't want to run over this one spot. But first, let me just talk to you about Built Bar. Look, the flavors here on Built Bar. If you need a protein bar, a little pick me up during the day. If you need just something to grab as a snack or like a protein boost, or you just got done with a workout, or maybe you missed a meal, Built Bar is the protein bar for you. And it comes down to the flavors: cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint, brownie, salted caramel. You still have time to get on the grasshopper cookie. That's for all you thin mint fans out there with the stats to back it up. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180. Just 4 to 5 grams of sugar, just 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all super tasty, covered in chocolate, all very healthy. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, we're talking about the NBA on this podcast, but you know what time of year it is. All the eyes are starting to turn over to football. The NFL teams are back out there on the proverbial gridiron looking to kick their seasons off. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updates on the odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open right now at BetOnline. Head over to the website or use that mobile device in your pocket to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, on the season opener between the Super Bowl champion Bucks and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, and right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all these great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code Locked On. So I guess that's the personal, that's the financial. The other piece of it that I find interesting is the attached rumors around, once completed, where might DJ go? And there's some speculation that the Lakers could be a landing spot. And so there's two parts to this. The one piece of it is like Lakers getting back to kind of the big boys that they've used before, the JaVale McGee's. They brought in Dwight Howard, right? So, you know, it makes sense kind of in that mold. But then I guess my first knee-jerk reaction too was, man, if he's maybe going to go land with the Lakers, now you're also paying your biggest competitor potentially to have this player compete against you. Should that influence the decision-making in this process for the Brooklyn Nets, I guess, is the easiest way to put it?
I mean, if the Nets are valuing the roster spot more than the money, then no. Right? Like, I don't think that this is you're not letting Shaquille O'Neal walk in his prime here, right? It's there's something there. They don't seem to want to play him at all. So under that line of thinking, from a strictly basketball standpoint, you could say they might encourage him to just go play for a competitor because they don't believe that he is believe that he is the answer, like the championship answer. For they clearly don't see him as a championship answer for their team. And you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, I suppose. But it's hard to imagine it being too much of a needle mover elsewhere, and the Lakers do seem to be incentivized to have big bodies around there. They, you know, you mentioned those other guys. They had Drummond too. They just like to have these big bodies around around AD and LeBron when possible. So that's just a little bit more of how they want to attack the game. So I guess that, you know, in that way, DJ would presumably be more valuable to them. But I don't think that is a worry. One thing I actually forgot to mention before is that, or maybe I did, so stop me, I can't remember now. But the idea that they've been trying to shop him, like they've been trying to trade this contract for a while. The rumor was even during the draft that they were trying to attach one of their picks to it to unload it, right? Like this is how much they wanted. Like they really wanted to get off the money. And if it was going to take a draft piece or maybe two to move him to another team, that was the first thing they tried, but just there was no takers on that at all. So it wasn't like this was the first iteration of this. Has been brewing for some time with rumors that, you know, they're shopping around because when you have bad contracts, and by the way, the Nets made bank on this concept years ago when they turned this is how they turned the organization around, was they took depressed assets from other teams and along with them took draft picks and capital back to try to rebuild the coffers a little bit. You know, the Mozgovs of the world, you know, D'Lo was something like that. You know, I mean, there was these examples where they were getting other players that other teams didn't want and then taking draft picks back. They just tried to do the same thing with DJ. It just didn't work because at this point, like $10 million for a DeAndre Jordan center off the, even like almost every team can see that that's probably not worth that plus the draft pick. So it's not like this was the first iteration of this. They have been trying to move this in other ways. It just hasn't been possible. I'm sure they even floated it to teams like the Lakers, but the Lakers couldn't even do it because he'd be like Blake with the Nets, where he would go in and just sign a veteran minimum contract, right? Like getting paid and you just go sign the vet minimum somewhere else. So it's not like these other teams through a buyout are going to have to pay him as opposed to trading him where that money would now be on their cap sheet and nobody wanted that.
Well, and you're even, you talk about at the top, I do a little bit of NFL coverage, and all these teams right now, it's cut down to 53 today, and all these teams are talking with one another, and you're trying to shop maybe some back-end roster guys that you're about to release. But if you could get a little asset and then, you know, team gets ahead to the front of the line instead of waiting for the waiver wire, this is the way you make sure you get your guy. And I think in DeAndre Jordan's case, or as you say with the Nets, right, like, well, you've heard the Nets trying to do it by this means, by that means, by the other way, by that avenue. And then this is kind of just the last result where they go, okay, and if it comes down to it, we're going to buy you out. And when other teams hear that as well, then it's just the waiting game. We'll wait until he gets out on the open market, and then we'll bring him in at the price that makes sense for us. And then I guess the last piece is, too, as you said, you know, DeAndre Jordan is probably only valuable, even though not for the Nets, maybe only has this value around the league to teams that are contending and think he can have this little role for us. He can serve a purpose. And most of those teams don't have cap room. So you're always up against it here. Not a lot of teams, whatever, the Cleveland Cavaliers, whoever you want to name, the Oklahoma City Thunder, although they were floated in the trade too, but that was about the idea of an asset going their way to make it worth it because OKC can take the money and it's good. And again, even when you're OKC, even when you're lower level teams that are rebuilding, you still then look at a DeAndre Jordan and say, well, we'll bring him in, then we'll do the buyout, and we'll pay him, and he won't be here. But we can also just draft young guys or bring in other players and just let them play. Even if the money isn't a big deal for us, we can still spend it somewhere else. And I think that makes it really hard when you're labored with these contracts. And you saw that, of course, with Blake Griffin last year. And that was an albatross relative to DJ. But significant money on the books, it is hard to move unless you have teams that are really willing to take it on. And, real quick, the Nets also didn't have a lot of draft assets to throw at that down the road with everything they gave up for James Harden. So you talked about the Nets with the Lakers years ago. It's because you had the ability to dump in the assets to make those deals work. Nets are a little bit less flexible in that regard over the next handful of seasons, so that makes it trickier to find partners.
I got to say, no, that's all 100% correct. I'm taking a mini loss on this. I'm taking a mini loss on this. I'm still surprised by this. I just convinced myself based off of very little that like DJ still had a role on the team, and that was just my bad for coming up with the idea and then leaning into it with no base evidence to support that claim, because I know I personally have been beating this drum over the offseason to say, hey, there's still a role for him. I was like this on Josh Lloyd's podcast the other day. That's going to not look all that great in retrospect when they buy him out. But like, I still just thought that there was just some role for him in terms of physicality and all this piece for the regular season specifically. So to have this happen this way, again, it's not like I, you know, planted the flag and then stood there and kicked off all fighters as they came up, because there's not too many. There weren't too many people arguing this point, but I'm still just a little surprised, because I just thought what you said before is this not so different than what the expectation around him was early on, right? It's not like there's been some major injury. Yes, there's a step slower in the game, but not to like this totally debilitating degree. And this is coming from not a DeAndre Jordan on the court fan. So I feel like this opinion matters even more, but I still just thought, man, for an 82 game regular season, like there's just is a spot for him to be there, but I guess the Nets just don't see it that way.
Yeah, and you and I came in, I think, with eyes open, and maybe this is the difference organizationally, players, whatever it may be, from a Nets side of it, of when they signed DeAndre Jordan. I think you and I were very much at the forefront of saying, like, listen, you're getting what you get, and it is what it is, and it can look good during the regular season, et cetera, and it can have value, but let's, you know, be reasonable about expectations. Maybe the Nets, in their thinking with the superstars, saw DJ being different or being more effective or being a different version of himself with his skill set relative to where he had been other places in his career. Because it'd be a unique situation to play with KD and Kyrie and Harden. And then you kind of do get the results and you do see it. And yeah, like you said, I'm surprised too. I was on board with you. We were both lockstep as far as saying he'll be your season warrior. Next time, though, I think for the next podcast, it'd be good for us to take a look at where the roster stands now, some of the young players that they brought in, the potential other players that we could see be added to this roster in that vacant spot, and maybe how DJ's role and his skill set started to fit less as this team progressed over the last couple of seasons, because it has evolved a little bit, and that maybe makes it more difficult to see that space for him on this particular team.
Yeah, for sure. We might have some more word about if they end up coming, because again, this is all still speculation. They have not done this. But usually when this stuff gets thrown out there, there's typically fire with that smoke. So that's why we thought it was worth covering here, because like I said, Shams isn't just some, you know, mope sitting around typing stuff on a computer.
I didn't buy marshmallows for no reason, Doug. Yeah, this guy. Like, I got the marshmallows, the chocolate, the graham crackers. It's all here. I want to make a s'more.
Yeah, so he's dialed in. If he's putting something in one of his columns, like it's going to be talked about. So it's just not. There's just no way that it's come up with just, you know. There's no. This is speculated on, because there's a lot of reason to believe it's probably going to end up happening. All right, we're gonna be, like I said, we'll break down.
Play Shams, if not, I guess. Yeah. Don't play Moss, you know.
Good point. You got me there. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball. In the meantime, make sure you listen to Locked On Today. All the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get podcasts. And for our podcast, you can rate and review wherever you listen. Help keep those listens up over the off season. It's been fun. Still coming out here, getting prepped up for the Nets season. Rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, DeAndre, you know that place between sleep and awake? That place where you still remember dreaming? That's where I'll always love you, Peter Pan. That's where I'll be waiting for you. It's Tinkerbell.
one of the all-time great poets. I'll be back. I know you threw me off really bad there. All right, Tinkerbell. Didn't expect that one. Usually ready for most names that come up here. Wasn't ready for a Tinkerbell reference. Okay, we'll be back again tomorrow.
Played by Julia Roberts. It's just, it's loving. It's loving.
Was she really?
Let's get out of here. Oh yeah, Tinkerbell. That's Robin Williams. Hook.
Oh, R.I.P. All right, we'll be back. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.